Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want all of our audience today to be able to welcome Kamal Saleem. Welcome, Kamal.
Thank you. God bless you, and good to be with you.
We are so excited. We have so many questions to ask you. If you missed our earlier program that we had this week, you've got to catch it, because his powerful testimony, how he met God, and you know, we're talking to a former radical Islamist terrorist who came to America to launch jihad against America, who is now having a spiritual war against the enemy and standing up for Jesus Christ. And it's the most exciting thing, because this is who the Jesus that we serve, that if we'll go out and tell people about the love of God, if we'll begin to tell people, you know, who he is, and begin to get out of our hiding places and get out of our caves and come out of the fields and go into the streets and the highways and the byways and begin to advance. It's not the great suggestion, it's the great commandment to go into all the world and tell people about Jesus. Then you'll be surprised what God's power can do. And I know that Kamal, you're part of that. And it's just so, we're so glad to have you on the program today.
Well, to God be the glory.
Well, you know, I want to have some questions to ask you. We're going to narrow it down to 600 in this one. And also, if at some point in the program, you know, our partners and our sponsors, they're the ones that make this all possible, standing with us, you know. And if you would just have something in your heart for them, that would be totally, totally great as well. I heard, you know, you made the statement that, you know, Islam is really 14% religious, and the rest is political or governmental. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. Well, we need to understand what Islam is. Islam is not just a religion. It's the fullness of government. The Muslim loyalty is to Allah, number one. So it doesn't matter if they are American, French, German, Middle Eastern. So their loyalty is to Allah. And what binds them together is the nation of Islam. And that's why we're seeing ISIS, ISIL. But there is something out there that we need to be really aware of, and that is Sharia law. Sharia law is the Islamic constitution. It is the Islamic government, you know, and that is the biggest part of Islam. So when we look at Islam, Islam is only 14% religion, but then the rest of it is a government, is a civic, it's a military. It's a financial system. It's a judicial system. It's everything. So it has everything. So when you invite the 14%, the Islamic part, what happened is you are inviting the Islamic governing into your own nation. This is what happened with England. They invited, you know, Sharia law, and now they are running the whole nation. But when we look at the laws and bylaws, it tells the Muslim how to eat, how to sleep, what to do, what not to do, who to kill, who to love, who to hurt, who to marry, how many women you can marry, how many places where you can pray, how to curse, how to send hexes, vexes, and all these things. It tells them everything. A Muslim could not be a free man. He got to be a slave. Islam is a religion of slavery.
You know, you think about it, and Jesus came to set us free.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about that. There was a news. There was a former FBI agent, I believe, it was on Fox News, and he said this. And you can help people because the church right now, a lot of the church is so untaught. It's not that there wouldn't be a good student and do what's right, but that nobody, people have not taught them what they need to know to be able to do what they need to do. And so this particular reporter on Fox News, Megyn Kelly, looks at this FBI agent, and we're looking at these American journalists who are captive in Iraq, and how, you know, the tragedy that took place there. But we won't talk about that second. But the FBI, Kelly says, you know, couldn't, if you're held captive by these ISIS terrorists, this radical Islamist terrorist, that... couldn't you just convert? And he goes, well, you know, that could be, you know, something that you could do. But then he says, that's every man's test. Mm-hmm. Help people understand that you can't, you know, the importance of this question that we're being asked when somebody comes to you and says, will you convert? Because Islam You know, Muhammad, they renounce Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They say that he has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And he's going to be the servant of this 12th, you know, Iman or something. But by denying, by accepting Islam as your faith, you're denying Jesus Christ. Can you help? Because this is FBI agent nailed it. Because Megan was just basically saying, you try to sue them over. It's like, no, this is for the eyes of heaven. Mm-hmm. Are you going to deny Jesus Christ? What would somebody do and understand the significance of making that decision?
Yes. Well, we need to understand our Lord was, you know, Jesus was in the wilderness, and Satan said to him, bow before me and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You know, I mean, and Jesus turned to him and he said, listen, Jack, it was written. You know, he said, who are you talking to? I was there. You were there. We told you how it's done. And he telling me what to do. He said, get you behind me, you know, Satan. So what's happening today is it's a religion of fear. It's an orphan spirit. What happened is Jesus came to establish the sonship. Islam has established the orphan spirit that happened with Ishmael and Abraham when Ishmael left his dad and he worshiped the Hagarite god, the gods of the desert and what so have you. So now what we're looking at, when ISIS are coming to the Christians, and this has happened many times, and they tell them convert. And several of Christians said, okay, well, and they told them, well, we will not kill you, we will not shoot you if you convert. You know, and so they converted. And the minute they converted, they said, listen, now you are Muslim. And before you change your mind, we're not going to shoot you, but we're going to behead you. And they took their head off. They died, you know, making the wrong statement. And that's happened with hundreds of Christians when they did this. It's happening right now in Syria and Iraq.
That's what happened to the former, not a Green Beret, but military man that's there in Syria. He was helping feeding, take care of the Syrians.
That's right.
And he converted and they gave him the name and then they beheaded him. That's probably what you're talking about.
That's right. And they see this as a cause, as a good cause. You know, even if he's a Muslim now, and so what happened, if we kill him for the sake of Allah to exalt Islam, then it's just another loss for the glory of Allah. But here's what we need to understand is, well, we captured, you know, generals that they are, you know, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, you know, all these places, and we put them in Guantanamo, and hundreds of American soldiers died to capture those. This is the nightmare that we release them for a soldiers, and we give all these men away to start the war with ISIS in the Middle East. This is the strategy that we really need to be aware of is, you know, like... why are we allowing all these people to become more powerful than America?
You know, which leads, I mean, we're going to talk more about your book. We get back from the break at, you know, the coalition, but why does our president explain to us? Cause I think about the jihad of, you know, different aspects that you talked about. One of is the jihad of lying, but they called this aid worker who converted thinking he could actually get out of this thing by converting. He called him by his converted name to Islam, which was even a greater insult because he's like feeding into this whole, I mean, that the first international speech, Kamal, of our president was in Cairo University, where he painted a picture to be able to bring the Muslim Brotherhood, who was illegal. It was illegal for them to even do anything in Egypt at that particular time by the president, Mubarak, I believe. And he painted this whole Islamic, you know, you created the world and algebra and, you know, bring them in. Next thing you know, Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood is president. And the people are looking at us in America like, what did you do? You put this thing over us, and they had to undo what we did, or at least what our leadership did. Talk to us about that.
Well, the problem is we have an administration today that has championed radical Islam. And by saying championing is they took everything on this, you know, to make it their own war. They championed the Arab Springs. And by saying that, we see, you know, how Iraq, Afghanistan, we see Syria, and we see what's happening, you know, what happened in Libya, what happened in Yemen just recently, and also what happened in Morocco, all those places. We've seen, you know, a government here in the United States of America leading the charge to convert those nations to becoming Islamic states. They're bringing Sharia law to be the law of the states and putting Muslim Brotherhood to be the leadership. you know, what happened in Egypt. It was the biggest slap that American, power throughout our history, that after America championed the Muslim Brotherhood, and they brought them there with whether anybody liked it or not. And we gave them rockets. We gave them jets. We gave them tanks. We gave them, anti-missiles. We gave them submarines, a lot of things. And we gave them billions of dollars from amnesty money, you know, taken here for sequestering and giving it to these people. What happened? The people of Egypt said no. And they changed the whole thing, and they spoke against America after everything they've done. But we have a president today that his father is David Saul Alinsky, his spiritual father. Saul David Alinsky, he is an author, you know, of rebelliousness, and he made a pledge to Satan. And by doing so in his books, you know, and his strategy is to change nation from within. It's a socialist, fascist, agenda. But when we get Islam, how does Islam fit in all this? You know, Islamism, socialism, Marxism, fascism, Nazism, liberalism, all have the same ism. It's an ism god. This has the same strategy to subjugate the people to slavery, control the people, and establish a Babylonian system to tell them this is the God that you need to worship. You know, this is just like Antichrist verbatim, you know. And then when we have a president, right when he became a president, he said this, and he declared he's a Christian. He said it's no longer it's a Christian nation, you know, and he declared it's a Muslim, it's everything else. And then he stands in the UN on September 12th, after September 11, 2012, and he says, word for word, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, you know. And so therefore he declare a war on those who will come against Islam, and so it's the hate crime bill in a way. And then we see him just this year after Ramadan finished, he said, I'm thanking the Muslims for their own many achievements and contributions to building the very fabric of our nation and strengthening the core of our democracy and celebrating our common value and giving back to their community. When we look at all those, you know, words, this is a war of words. It's a game of words. And so therefore what happened is they're trying to indoctrinate America is that Islam is part of this, all this, even now to the point that in Boston on the East Coast, some schools are pledging allegiance to Allah, to the American flag in the name of Allah.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
It is time for us to get busy. When we get back from this break, you know, the future must not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet. You know, that means something that a lot of Christians in America do not understand what that means. I appreciate if you explain that. We'll talk also about your book. You know, make sure you get this book. We got to get a vision. And this book puts us about 5 years in the future about how we have to rise up. We got to quit wanting people to be surrogates for what God's called us to do as individual believers in the earth and to rise up in love and under the Constitution and begin to exercise our rights. Kamal, this is one question I want to ask you real quick. Like, what does it mean when our president stands up before all the nations of the earth at the United Nations and declares the future must not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet, Muhammad, or of Islam? And what does blaspheme in their idea, what does that actually mean? Because it's totally different, I believe, than a lot of people think what it means.
You see, Islam came to destroy two religions. It came to destroy Judaism and Christianity because they blasphemed Islam. In order for Islam to exist, it must destroy those two religions. So therefore, what happened is if somebody speak anything other than Islam, then it is not accepted. So you are defying Islam. But when we see in Obamacare, all the American people are subjugated to be penalized by that Obamacare, the nightmare. And except the Muslim, we're exempt from it. And by what laws or what bylaws did he exempt the Muslim from? And so when you look at this, you go like, wait a second, what's going on there? And then you see there's a situation taking place because now when immigration is taking place and they're opening the borders and Obamacare become a, you know, the law, and all the Muslim flood this nation, and now when we have 50 million Muslim coming through in the next 2 years or more, and because there's crisis happening all over the Middle East, guess who's going to have to feed those people and take care of them, because they are exempt. They will become a slave to them by the dhimmi status, which is Islamic status. So we will start supporting all this. All this is an agenda put together, orchestrated, and designed altogether while American people are still snoring, you know, you know, and they change feather from an eagle to an ostrich, you know, they head in the sand, and they just hoping that this nightmare will pass on. Well, guess what? You're the next meal, and Thanksgiving is coming about.
That's exactly it. Wow. So then you said something before I go to the next question that brings up another question. Muslims are exempt from the Obama Health Care Act, the Affordable Health Care Act?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Hello, America.
Yes.
You know, because Congressman Michelle Bachmann made this statement, two things. One is, you know, I'm not sure or not she's talking about, but she says, you know, you should have vetted Uma, the assistant to the Secretary of State.
That's right.
Because she is the daughter of one of the leaders who's passed away now, big-time leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Three.
And she's the one that traveled the nation with Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State. And the fact that the FBI, Bachmann says the FBI and all of our law enforcement agencies had to remove anything that referred to radical Islam or Islam as an enemy of America and the Constitution. What's going on with that? I mean, Uma, like you said, where does, in that, where does Hillary Clinton stand in all of this? Because, I mean, we have the National Prayer Cathedral right here on 11-14-14, where they're actually declaring, you know, like you said, victory over the church. I mean, what's going on right here?
Well, here's the word, what the word of God says in Isaiah 51:9. He said, awake, awake, clothe yourself with strength, O arm of the living God. And God is talking to the church here. You know, awake from your slumber and do something about it. And then the word of God speak from the book of Mark 4:39. He said, when he got up, when he awoke, he got up and he rebuked the wind and wave. He said, quit and be still. And it ceased. You know, the church lost its authority, and the church has no authority to take stand right now, because they have no idea who they are. And so therefore, because the pastors, you know, feeding the church pancakes around the clock, you know, and a lot of these people at church today, they have no idea what to do in those situations. Then we have these Islamists like Huma Abedin, who's her father, her husband is Mr. Wiener, the one we heard about, you know, what he did on the internet, on Skype and everything, you know, and all this nightmare. But her father and her mother are leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood, and they were sent by the Saudi Arabian order to establish and to infiltrate America and establish Islamization of a new identity of America. And when Huma Abedin was situated over there, you go like, how did she get in there, number one? How did she get the employment? And then what we find in the last 2 years, you know, in Hillary Clinton, you know, position of power, she was meeting with a special group called the OIC. The OIC, the Islamic, the organization, Islamic Councils. You know, we put this also in the book, in the novel, you know, the coalition. We wrote on this, and these are 57 Islamic states. And what they're trying to implement in the United States of America, the bill called UN 1416. The bill 1416 from the United Nations is the hate crime bill, you know, for the Muslims, that anyone that would say anything against Islam, just like what our president said, the future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. This is the hate crime bill. She's trying to put it in there, and it failed, because every time she put it on the floor, it was revoked. Nobody want to deal with it. And what does it do? It subjugate America in the fullness to, if anybody speak against Islam in any way, form, or shape, they are penalized and given a fine and sent to jail. They have to do a jail sentence. So therefore, what happened is It's a war against our Bill of Rights. And now we have you know, these Islamists are stepping forward to the next level. For example, what happened on House of Representatives, and also what happened on National Cathedral. National Cathedral is designated the nation cathedral. That's the authority and the power of that cathedral. The House of Representatives is the power of our sovereignty right there with the lawmaker. You know, this is where God speaks about the three level of our government in the book of Isaiah. God, our judge, our God, our lawmaker, God, all these things, you know. And what happened is Islam on 11-14-14, what happened, they declare World War One against the Christians. And so therefore what happened, they declare war against Europe and they united in power with the fascist Germany at that time. And so what happened in the same date, what happened, they declare a war on the Armenians, which is there were over 12 million Armenians over there. And they did genocide on them. They started and they killed 1.5 million Armenian and they removed them from their home and they scattered them all over the earth. And many of them died in process as they were traveling and they just butchered them on the way. So what happened when Muslims stand in our national cathedral and declare Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that place now belongs to Allah, is a holy ground. It is consecrated and it's made holy. So now what happened is these people are declaring the glory of Allah in that place. And then when they stand out there in the House of Representatives and they pray and they open with the surah from Fatiha in the name of Allah and declare the power belong to Allah, the glory belong to Allah. At the end of that prayer, it says, but not for Maghdubi alayhim or the Dalin, which is, it's not for those accursed one, the Jews or the Christian who perverted the faith. So therefore, these are declaration. They were made then, and now they are made in our face, right here. And the word of God says, my people perish. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Not because for the lack of knowledge, but because they refuse knowledge. We are teaching here, America, is what's taking place. We need to wake up and smell the hummus right away and do something about it.
I love that. Smell the hummus. I got so many more questions. I want to talk about care when we get back. I want to talk about the United States Congress just had an imam to pray over it and some more with Ferguson. What's happening? Why are they co-opting that? You want to ask these questions? We'll get all these questions and we got so many to ask you. This CARE organization, this Muslim, supposedly it's reportedly a terrorist group organization, has stepped up in the efforts to co-opt the Ferguson protest in Missouri. Why have they done this? What's going on with that?
This is an awesome question too. This is another place of civilization infiltration. It's a stealth mode. You know, number one, we need to understand that CARE is the only unindicted, organization out of the Holy Land Foundation trial, which is, you know, this is where these are terrorist organizations that they were, involved in terrorism in America. And so the CARE was unindicted. And so therefore it became part strength, you know, in working for the FBI, the CIA, training now our soldiers, training our security service, the NSA. They are training everybody because they are unindicted. But just recently they've been indicted, you know, and as a terrorist organization. And, you know, here in America, you know, as a Muslim Brotherhood forefront. And their strategy in Ferguson is they are trying to find what's so-called unholy alliances. And what does that mean? They use other people with rage and anger and hate and to align with them and find a common link to build a strategy and friendship. But the whole thing on this is to reach out so they can put pressure against, you know, programs that they built against terrorism, built against Islam. So now when you go to the TSA, so what happened is we're pressuring these people so much, the TSA will feel like, you know, they will like you know, the government will come about and say, you could not touch these men. You know, these men are, you know, we don't want to go into law, you know, lawsuits and whatsoever. So they start scrutinizing, you know, our nation from within and subjugating our nation to discriminations by claiming that we are discriminating against them, because now they are part of that move. One of their great leader said, Mr. Brown is a Muslim man. And when the family of Mr. Brown said to him, he was never Muslim. He retrieved the, you know, what he said, but nevertheless, it's already been written out there and, you know, on the internet. And so what they're trying to do is make themselves equal to those people that they are subjugated to that, you know, whatever it may be. And so they can start be claiming that they are discriminated against and start shifting our culture into a discrimination bill.
It's just time. I want to make sure that we tell you, you got to get his book and General Jerry Boykin wrote together called The Coalition, painting a vision, I believe, for the future. And it kind of puts us like in 2020, you know, and it puts so many facts in there and so much stuff that, you know, Kamal is talking about to give us an understanding of what we need to do, where we need to go potentially as we're seeking wisdom. I have one more question. Well, I actually have another question for you. This Iman that was here, we are. This big election took place in America. America said, we're tired of this. They brought in people who basically stood for God and country in Israel, but they haven't got into their seats yet because that won't happen until January. Mm. So the people that are there, they brought in over our lawmakers an Iman who prayed to Allah over our lawmaking body. What does that mean? I mean, what did that, in regards to understanding Islam, what does that mean?
You know, it's very critical. You know, we must understand this, that when we say a mosque is an embassy, it's a holy ground. So when a mosque is open, you know, if you do anything to a mosque in the United States of America, now the whole Muslim world will retaliate. Why? Because it's part of the Islamic state, part of the Islamic nation. It's called Ummah, one world order under Allah. So therefore, but the declaration of a ground, a territory, first it's taken spiritually by praying over it. So when they bring an imam to the, you know, the state capital, and he declares right there, he prays in the name of Allah, the sovereign one, above God of heaven and earth, the one who is Akbar, greater than God of heaven and earth, the one who is higher than God of heaven and earth. And then he turned around and he cursed all these people by finessing word that they don't understand what they mean. And so this place now is a claim for Islam. So the Muslim now, since he prayed over there, they have the right to come and possess the House of Representatives for Islam. So that house is under holy war. It's called Dar al-Harb, which is the house of war. You know, and until it's possessed, then it'll turn into Dar es-Salaam. The same with the cathedral. Anytime they come and pray, you invite them, that place becomes sacred place, anointed for Islam to possess.
So this is, I'm asking you a whole bunch of questions because I want to get these things in. So I noticed you said that this embassy under attack, the mosque under attack, is like attacking an embassy.
That's right.
But then because it's attacking what they call Ummah, right?
That's right.
But isn't that the name of the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood that serves Hillary Clinton? Was it Ummah was her name? Is her name?
Sure. But then, you know, Barak is the angels, the usher of Islam, the one who ushered Islam, brought Muhammad to heaven, you know, and he brought them, took him to Jerusalem. He's the angel Barak is the one, the usher of Islam. So, you know, I mean, these are Islamic names. Yes.
Wow. So that we're looking at you know, God is you know, the church has not only went to sleep, but, you know, that, you know, God has allowed a set man to be in place to fashion a storm, a sword against America. If we wake up, it will end. But if we don't wake up, it goes deeper into Zedekiah, which is God is just.
That's
so
right.
If we keep on disrespecting God who blessed
us
so
much. The enemy are building their altars.
Yes.
We see in all the altars from altar of Amalek, which is abortion, to Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, and to Baal, which is Islam. We've seen these altars are being built, and we've seen altar of secularism, which is Babylon, and liberalism, which is Babylon lawlessness. And the church, they don't know what the altar looks like. They have not built the altar. And the church now, they worship God of potluck, the most important God in the church. They look for the potluck every week. And the best part about Sunday is where they're going to eat after the church. While the enemy is working, the church is becoming fatter and happier and just losing everything else and lost their identity. We lost the identity of king and priest. The king and priest is very important. We are a royal priesthood. And so therefore, we must have an altar, and every altar must have a sacrifice. We must lift the altar of the living God in our home, in our cities, in every place, and take a dominion and power and authority in the name of the living God. And then our altar of a king will be a sovereign altar, because we are standing on the rock that his name is I Am.
Awesome. That is so awesome. That's the point, is that, okay, are we going to rise up and declare who truly is God? Are we going to take our kingships? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So who is he king over to us? Mm. Are we going to begin to take these mountains back, these spheres of culture back, and quit being so fearful? I mean, in the whole scheme of potentially losing your head over being in rebellion to God, isn't it better to lose your head in obedience to God and join with those that are the greatest, the martyrs, that says they will rule with him for the millennial reign, that we have to begin to shift? And it's almost like this, and I don't know if you heard Miles Monroe's prophetic word before his tragic end and promotion, really, to heaven, but his son totally took over, and our hearts go out to all the people with his ministry. But he said that it's like leadership will not let go of the baton. They just won't hand it over. They won't raise up sons. They won't, and they have to pry this thing out of their hands. He saw this guy in a casket that was a relay runner, and he died with the baton in his hands. So the man had to go over and pry the thing out of his hands. Chuck Pierce says the reason why the world's leadership, Chuck Pierce of Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas, the reason why the world's leadership is in a quagmire, is stuck, is because the church leadership is stuck. I mean, what do you have to say about that?
Well, here's the truth. We go to churches that they bring us in sometime, and these pastors said, do not talk about any of this. We don't want to talk about this, that, and the other. All we want you to do is how you had an encounter with Christ. Tell us about your testimony. So we have a lot of pastors out there that they themselves, they have no idea what the call is all about. And it turned into like how I'm going to stay alive and keep my parishioners, happy. It became like it's a party, and the word of God, it's a living word. It's not the dead word. We talk about David and Goliath. We talk about all this, but the people need to know the truth. In the book of Ezekiel, he said, "Woe unto you, shepherds." Why? Because they let go of the sheep and let them to be devoured by the wolves, and so what we need our leaders, that God, lawmakers, the pastors, to step up to the forefront and start declaring the power that the church can arise in the great awakening of the living God, because this is required now for Hadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say we will not bow and make the difference. What happened in Houston when the mayor said to these, pastors, bring me your sermon. And she's subjugating the marriage, lesbian and homosexual marriage. These pastors, they said we would not. They submitted their sermon and they took stand. That is what we need. We need a godly man, warriors after God's own heart, and not people who doesn't know who they are.
That's so awesome. We are speaking to Kamal Saleem. Don't forget to get his book. We're going to make all the information available to you on VFNTV.com on The Torch. It's called The Coalition, a novel written by General Jerry Boykin and Kamal Saleem. Listen, we got to get a vision for the future. Without a vision, we will perish. And got a question going on. Yeah, without a vision, we will perish. So we got to begin to get a clear vision for, what is going on. And this particular book is, it just paints a picture of 2020, kind of lets us know where we're going. And sometimes we're in this instant gratification type thing, and something's got to happen now. But we got to project, almost like the project projected for Islam 100 years and their plans coming to fruition and some couple of things that are going on. We got to get a vision for America, a vision for what God wants us to do. And just imagine this. Imagine this. Imagine if everything we know about America has yet to really happen in regards to being a Christian nation. Imagine if the future of America is it's truly going to be a Christian nation. Like we're going to walk in the fullness of what is has God has prepared for this. And I have a question for you, Kamal. This particular question is about the celebration of all these Islamic celebrations taking place in the White House with the Ramadan and iftar dinners. I mean, this is just kind of just a wild turnaround for our nation. What does that mean in regards to our government mountain, you know, that part of culture? Talk to us about that.
Well, the National Day of Prayer used to be the a holiday, you know, celebrated at the White House, you know, and it was held just like how they hold Ramadan today. But Ramadan today is the holiday that is being celebrated at the White House. And Ramadan is a very unique month. It's in Islam. This is historically what happened when Islam went from being peaceful to radical. This is when Muhammad went from being a prophet to warlord, you know, the prophet of Islam. This is when everything changed. Right in the middle, Allah, the God of Islam, spoke and he said, I have changed my mind. And what I spoke on before, what I told you, it's no longer applied for everything I'll give you will replace what I've given you. And it's better. And if you don't do it, then I'm sending you to hell, basically. And so therefore, what happened is during that time, it became a holy month where the Muslim fast from sunrise to sunset. And what happened, they fast from food and water, and that's the only month in time in history when a Muslim are holy. They are not, you know, focusing on anything else but on Allah and their inner man. They try to really step over it. But what happened there, Muhammad, the most battles, you know, the Prophet of Islam, most of his battle took place in the month of Ramadan. So basically, this is things launched a new level in radicalism. And the last book in the Quran, it was the book of the sword, which is it's a holy war, jihad. That's what replaced the peaceful means. So when a Muslim speak to you from that understanding, many times they use the old peaceful mean and they use it under al-taqiyya, which is lying in the sake for the sake of Allah. What happened? They speak from the peaceful method. And then but ultimately they are commanded to finish with the radical. And this is, we're talking about radical Islamists. So when we see Ramadan is being celebrated, so the radicalization of a nation or something, you know, it's celebrated right there. The things are shifting from peaceful to radical. And we can't remember that when Muhammad moved to Mecca to Medina, Medina was called Yathrib at that time. But Medina today is the symbol of Al-Qaeda, you know, where Muhammad became sovereign and powerful and established war against all the neighbors and his own people and then, you know, nations around him, including the Christian and Jews.
Well, you know, that this is so helpful. You're so helping us here. And I know our audience is just growing in wisdom. You know, we were led, you know, begin to cry out to God, God, what's going on? What's happening? And God revealed to me what you've talked about already, that he revealed to me. And you said this, you know, that, you know, President Barack Obama is a spiritual son of Saul Alinsky, but he actually told me, the Lord began to reveal to me this rules for radical Saul Alinsky. That's what's going on. And I got the book. I found out the book was dedicated to Lucifer, who did these things that our president reportedly taught it for 4 years, was mentored by him, including Hillary Clinton was mentored by him, and
that's right.
They're like brothers and sisters and their spiritual father. In the context of that, when we talk about Revelations chapter 2, you know, that they are Saul Alinsky's child. But in so we began to put these 13 rules for radicals down and talk about, okay, that's the dark perspective. But then we wrote, you know, what does God say, how we're supposed to respond? What's the light perspective of that? And so we have this whole series, you know, entitled Organizers of the Night versus Organizer of the Day. Would you recommend understanding what's taking place in America right now, how important that is to get insight about what Saul Alinsky, the spiritual father of our president and Hillary Clinton, taught them, to get insight about how to respond in the light way. And it's just amazing how we just fall right into that dark path. That's when they start organizing this. What would you say about something like that, getting that kind of wisdom in regards to Saul Alinsky's tactics and what to do as a Christian?
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the things I talk about, is what are those tactics and how to take a nation apart. You know, all of them, you know, we see, you see all of it happened in the past already. It happened with the Muslims, and then the Muslim revealed it to Hitler. Then we saw the Russian did the same, you know, the same rules of engagement. And now it's translated to our university students, you know, what to do. And now we have president and other people like Hillary Clinton are fulfilling those purposes, the dream, you know, dream of his father. It is, we got to understand, which dream is he talking about? What is the dream of his father and what it is all about? You know, and we're always dealing with a war, with a, you know, a game here. It's made out of words and it's a war. So when he prophesied that and move with it, we got to know that he is fulfilling out walking his spiritual father identity into this nation.
Wow. That's, you know, we're coming to this end of this program and I want to make sure we get this last question in, but please, you know, when you do talk to Glenn Beck, I understand you're going to be doing his program. Yes. Soon, that we were at his last week of recording at the New York studios there before he went to Texas or began what he's doing. And It's amazing what he's doing. And he encouraged us in regards to just being a voice, you know, how to have a conversation. And of course, our conversation is about keeping the conversation light. But, there are a large audience. Some, you know, some's in New York, some in Jersey, all around the world. Could you speak to our audience? The Muslims that are listening to us. Speak to them with wisdom and light. What would you say to them right now? As you got, they're watching you, they're listening to you. Would you please talk to them for us?
Well, before we go further, you know, we need to understand that a ministry, you know, like this right now that we're speaking on, it's very important. You know, the Bible, the Word of God, showed us there's goers and there's senders. We need first, number one, if you are part of, you know, listening today, you need to think about supporting something like this, because they're bringing the truth to you plainly. And, you know, this is the Word of God. God so loved the world that he gave the truth to walk among us. And now we need to allow this truth to move to a new level of power. So we got to invest in something like this, because this is a kingdom come, you know. And but now I will answer the question. Forgive me for taking this rabbit trail, but that's important to me when you see fruit in something like this. We need to engage. We need to situate ourselves. We need to be sitting on school boards. We need to run for city councils. You know, city council, you don't have to be, have a PhD. You could be anyone, you know, and all you need is church to stand behind you. If you get 300, you know, votes, you know, that's all you need. And you have many churches will stand behind you. We need to understand what we're dealing with. We need to understand why these people are coming here and what they're understanding, you know, and how to engage them, you know, and we need to be salt and light, you know, and when we step in these last days, God's going to give us the new oil and the new wines for the last days, you know, because that's the manna that would come in the final days, you know, where he will fulfill his promise. And so therefore, we need to understand that these Muslims are afraid as well. They are intimidating, because we think that they're intimidating. You know, do not be afraid of them. Do not let them scare you, because they could not do anything. They could be deported easily if they do something stupid. So therefore, take an action, engage them, let them know who you are, and don't hide your Christianity. A lot of Christians, they coward when it comes to the Christianity. They try to be nice so they can say later on that you are a Christian. When the Muslim find this, right away, they will know that you are a liar, because you deceive them right up front. So you need to let them know. And by engaging them is to reach out and help them, break bread with them, invite them to your home. Let them know, you know, you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask them how to, you know, if they have need to pray for them. And Testament, you know, because we are the living word, we are the living ministry in their life. And when they see this, that does not exist in Islam. Islam has not understood what love is. Everything in Islam is conditional. While Christianity, God has given us unconditional love. We need to share that love. And when they see that hope, the word of God says that the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers. That's the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ. Come and change their world and bring them to, you know, and that's the church. I was watching Al Jazeera TV the other day, you know, a few months, 2 months ago, and I heard Imam Ahmed, the head of Islamic censors. He was saying we have a phenomenon happening in the Middle East and we don't know what to do with it. And when the reporter asked him, what do you mean? What is this phenomenon? He said, Muslims are converting to Christ. He said, why? He said, every hour of every day, we have 667 Muslims converting every hour of every day to Christ. 17,000 every day. Awesome. 6 million awesome. Every year. He Beautiful. Said, it's been happening 10 years in sequence. He said, and we killed them, we behead them, we jailed them, we stoned them, we deport them. No matter what we do, it keep happening. He said, why can't we stop this? He said, because God is appearing to them, Jesus is appearing to them in dreams and visions and walking with them on the street and healing them and changing their world. And these people becoming crazy for Christ. And so therefore, you know, we need to understand, people that you're listening to me, we need to become radical with the love of the living God. The love of God, that he so loved the world that he became a radical God, that he walked among us to bring heaven to earth and to say, I am the way and the life and truth. And now we need to share that with everyone. And if we keep it to ourselves, we became selfish, or we become selfish, or we become a liar. This is to give as a gift for the nations.
Totally awesome. You've got to get General Boykin's and Kamal Saleem's book, The Coalition. So much of what he's talking about, he says, is in this book. We'll make it available to you, VFNTV.com. We're so grateful to you, Kamal, and for all of our audience. And God bless. You'll find out more on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.